One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
still not together.
Yep.
Still apart.
I'm officially a Chicagoan now. All you need is 1 week in the city and then you're officially accepted.
How many hot dogs do you have to eat before they accept you as an official Chicagoan?
365.
Oh boy, you've been busy.
Yeah, one for each day of the year.
In a week.
In a week, yeah.
What else is on your Chicago bucket list?
I want to climb the Bean.
Yeah, okay.
I want to swim across Lake Michigan.
Okay. But you can only do it if you wear one of those old-timey bathing suits.
Yes, exactly. And what else is a classic Chicago thing to do?
Probably a lot of things that people from Chicago are yelling at their podcast apps right now that we don't
You mean
know.
All those Midwest listeners we have that we you forgot about?
You too. We do have a lot of Midwest listeners, and we apologize to all of them for not thinking that we have them. We do.
Yes, we do. We love you, Midwest listeners.
We do.
Thank you for being loyal vegetarians.
Speaking of, what is a vegetarian, Scott?
A vegetarian is someone who eats only vegetables.
Oh, damn it.
But in our context, a vegetarian is someone who loyally listens to Song Salad, and a song salad is a random topic plus a random genre to create a song.
Yay, good job. And as we have learned this past week, some of you are actually willing to pay real American dollars for songs.
I knew it would work. So we're going to do it.
Yeah, we're going to do it.
For those of you that have reached out to us on Twitter, we will follow up with you via direct message and get some more information from you. And we will start doing one custom song per episode.
As long as we have people ordering custom songs.
We will do one custom song per episode.
And they'll be short. And so don't worry, it's not going to add like 15 minutes to the length of our podcast.
I'm thinking they're going to be like jingles, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. A personal jingle.
Yeah.
A salad jingle.
A dressing, a crouton.
Crouton. Salad bite.
I got it.
Yeah.
A U-ton. A personalized crouton. Sounds like a national park.
It does, or a tauntaun. Is what I was thinking. It sounds like a tauntaun. We'll work out all the bugs over the next week, and we'll have more information next week on, you know, how to actually contribute if you want a U-ton written by us. So if you contacted us this week, thanks for being our little guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Guinea pigs eat salad. So
fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. And also new this week, I realized listening to all the episodes, like going through preparing for being the captain of Song Salad, which went so well last week. Just really a bang-up job for my inaugural episode.
I was on the edge of my seat listening to that episode. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Isn't it so listening when you don't edit it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially when you lose half of the audio of the outro.
Yeah.
Have completely. To make it up.
I was so sad about that. Anyway, but yeah, in listening back through a bunch of our old episodes, I realized that we don't really explain the salad spinner, and sometimes our effects don't have like a definite ending to them, so it's kind of hard to tell when we're clicking the button. Mm-hmm. So this week we're going to include a sound effect that is standard at the end of every salad spinner noise. So we're not replacing the custom salad spinners. We're just making a standard ending to all of them. The salad spinner sound effect will be a munching noise. In honor of salad.
In honor of salad.
In honor of salad. Should we get into it?
Let's get into it. Okay. And we do have a salad spinner suggestion.
Yes. Okay. So our salad spinner suggestion this week is from Nubia Torres at Nubia, N-U-B-I-A, 81 on Twitter. And she says, in honor of October coming soon, you should do a Rocky Horror salad spinner, which is a great idea.
Yes. Thank you, Nubia. I'll go first.
Okay.
Actually, no, I'll go second because I have a good one.
Okay. So here's my Rocky Horror Picture Show salad spinner noise, which is, damn it, Janet.
Oh, you took mine.
I did?
I was going to say, damn it, Shannon.
Oh, man. That would have been better.
Fine. I have another one.
Neo Soul.
The soul of the main character of The Matrix.
Yes. What can you tell me about Neo Soul?
Well, the first thing that the Wikipedia article about Neo Soul says is that it's not to be confused with alternative R&B. So don't do that.
Okay.
Neo Soul is a genre of popular music.
Great. Yes. Good start. Good start.
The term was coined by music industry entrepreneur Kedar Massenburg during the late 90s to market and describe a style of music that emerged from soul and contemporary R&B. Heavily based in soul music, neo-soul is distinguished by a less conventional sound than its contemporary R&B counterpart, with incorporated elements ranging from jazz, funk, and hip-hop to pop, fusion, and African music.
Okay.
It has been noted by music writers for its traditional R&B influences, conscious-driven lyrics, and strong female presence. Neo-soul developed during the 1980s and early 1990s in the United States and the United Kingdom as a soul revival movement. It earned mainstream success during the 1990s with commercial and critical breakthroughs of several artists, including D'Angelo, Erykah Badu, Lauryn Hill, and Maxwell. Their music was marketed as an alternative to the producer-driven, digitally approached R&B of the time.
Okay.
Oh, no. Bleep.
Oh, yep.
Let's first talk about the name, Neo Soul. Apparently, a lot of the artists that are categorized as Neo Soul artists dispute that terminology and don't really adhere to or don't accept that label. One of the reasons being it implies that soul music stopped at some point or died out at some point.
Right.
And they think to call it Neo Soul means that there was a break in the period of soul music, but they don't see it that way. And those artists are really about one reporter talking about the Neo Soul movement said, as imperfect as the term may be, Neo Soul is still an effective tag to describe the mix of chic modernity and time-honored tradition that distinguished the genre's best examples. Neo Soul artists tried to look both backward and forward, acting in the belief that a continuum might exist. So sort of bridging the old soul and the new soul.
Cool. We might be able to do that. Yeah, so a lot of neo soul singers were singer songwriters, so meaning that they write their own music, or at least write their own lyrics. In general, the lyrics in neo soul were quote idiosyncratic and deeply personal in their approach to love and politics, and also were considered more conscious driven than R&B, so more political, more worldly, more aware, more about issues than general pop music. And then also that they had a broader range than you might normally hear in pop or R&B.
And that was what sort of started this neo-soul movement, was these artists trying to break out of the hip-hop single or producer-driven track kind of mold and do their own original music and their own full albums. So that was really in the mid-90s that came onto the mainstream with albums like D'Angelo's Brown Sugar, or The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and it achieved commercial success throughout the late 90s and early 2000s, and then kind of tapered off again in the mid 2000s. And there's still, you know, neo soul artists around. I don't know if we're still categorizing them in that way, but these same artists are still releasing records, and there's still a soul movement out there. So musically, neo soul is a combination of R&B, like contemporary R&B, very influenced by people like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and also combining jazz, funk, and African elements. And it has an emphasis on going away from that very produced sound. So not a lot of electronic elements, really. It's about organic, you know, live instruments. We should do an example.
Who should we pick?
This article says, although she disputes the term, Erykah Badu has been dubbed the first lady of neo-soul and the queen of neo-soul.
Well, then it should definitely be Erykah Badu.
Our example is going to be Window Seat by Erykah Badu.
Concentrating on my abusing lover and my babies. Made me wanna ask the lady for a ticket out of town.
Well, should we get our topic?
Yes, I think we should. And it's your turn.
Let's spin the salad spinner. It sounds like Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. It's just a jump to the left. And then a step to the right.
Nice little jump cut there in the middle of the monologue into the song. What'd you get?
Mortimer Lewis Anson.
Okay.
Was an early protein scientist. He is famous for having proposed that protein folding was a reversible two-state reaction and for being the founding editor of the journal Advances in Protein Chemistry. He was born in 1901 and died in 1968. Together with Alfred Mirsky, Anson was the first to propose that conformational protein folding was a reversible process. There's actually some more stuff.
Okay.
He went by the name Tim, even though he was named Mortimer Lewis.
Yep. That's awesome.
In 1945, Tim married Nina Anton, who was active in theater.
Okay.
Together, they had at least one daughter, says Wikipedia.
Okay. What about the other ones?
Doesn't say. The daughter's name was Jill. Nina died of a heart attack in October 1963, and Tim died in 1968 of his third heart attack.
Whoa.
The first two having been in early 1966 and the summer of 1968. Tim was good friends with Bela Bartok, the composer.
Okay.
Especially during Bartok's final years in America.
That's very strange. Also, I just picked up on the fact that Tim Anson married Nina Anton.
Yes. True.
Boy, that was an easy name change process. One letter. I like this guy.
I like this guy too. I can throw in some Bartok references to the music.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Okay. Molecular biologist.
We need to find out what this whole protein folding thing is about.
Oh, you don't know it?
Nope. Okay. I didn't take chemistry.
Or bio?
I took biology, but we didn't talk about protein folding.
Molecular bio? Okay. Yeah. So here's
what do you expect
to my
from
understanding.
Me? I'm a musician.
Yeah. Well, I'm a writer and I still know about protein folding. So you know how proteins are made, right? Like, it's a big, long chain
mm-hmm.
of DNA or in molecules and different, like, little things, basically. And there are certain cells, not cells, but things that are smaller than cells, certain, what are they called? Organelles? I think that's what they're called.
You're in asking the cell. Wrong person.
Yeah. That, that assemble these long protein chains. And then there are, what bonds is it? It's like a weak.
James bonds?
No. It's either covalent bonds or nitrogen gold bonds.
Gold
bonds? Yep, gold bonds. Gold bond powder, so they don't get itchy when they fold up into each other.
Well, chafing.
Yeah, but then the way that they're assembled, the positive and negative charges of these big long chains make them stick together in certain ways, so they fold up into the actual shape that they need to be in order to do their job in the cell or the body.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's like, imagine a big long ribbon, and then at different certain points on the ribbon are attracted to different other points on the ribbon, and it crumples itself up in a very specific way to make that protein effective. Yes. So that's protein folding in my very layman's way of explaining it.
Well, and apparently Tim Mortimer Lewis Anson was the one that said it was a reversible two-state reaction. Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
I was very confused why his nickname is Tim, and then I realized that the word Tim is in the word Mortimer.
Mortimer. Oh yeah. Yes. I wonder if that's common.
That would be very strange. What if every Tim you knew was actually named Mortimer?
If you're a Tim named Mortimer, tweet at us. There's one other thing here about Tim that makes me like him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He was haunted by the suffering caused in the underdeveloped world by poor nutrition.
Oh.
And in 1942, he left his prestigious research position at the Rockefeller Institute to investigate biochemical and genetic methods for improving the nutrition of foods. Specifically amino acid fortification.
Amino acids are proteins.
Yes. So he stuck to his brand.
Yeah.
But used it for good.
Good for him.
Good for you, Tim. And he was friends with Bartok.
Yeah, that's really cool. I wonder why.
If you don't know who Bela Bartok is, Bartok is not just the bat from Anastasia. He was actually a composer.
He is also the bat from Anastasia.
Early 20th century composer who wrote some amazing music.
I'm going to do a little bit more research about him to see if I can find anything else. And then I'm going to read some Erykah Badu lyrics to sort of get into the mindset.
And I'm going to listen to her music and some D'Angelo, because I know he has a lot of cool instrumental stuff going on, and form a band.
Cool.
I was doing some research on to get a sense of common instrumentation, and I was looking at the music video for the D'Angelo song. It's really called Untitled, but then in parentheses, How Does It Feel?
Yes.
It's that music video.
I know this music video.
Yes, the music video where D'Angelo is naked, and they're showing him naked.
Well, I mean, not like they're not like showing all of him.
No.
They get very close though.
A lot of D'Angelo is on the screen.
Yes. That's very true.
And there's a wonderful comment from a YouTube subscriber. There is a little bit of colorful language in it, so forgive me. But it says, "Bro, I'm not even gay, but this man could fuck me, not even gay." YouTube comments
I
so much.
Too. That's so good.
Anyway, what I was going to say is that I know what instruments I'm going to use for my neo soul band.
Great.
Definitely going to use drums, bass, and guitar.
Okay.
And in addition to that, I'm going to use some electric piano, which is very common, especially in the mid 90s neo soul. And they have some kind of echoey effects on a lot of the electric piano.
Cool.
And that's really it. I'm going to keep it simple with just that kind of an ensemble. And then as far as the vocals go, you'll find that there's a lot of... there tends to be a lot of space in between phrases when they're sung. So mm-hmm. there's, you know, some music and then some lyrics and then a little pause for some more music and then a little interlude and then some more lyrics. And then whenever the chorus comes around, the lead vocal is usually doubled with itself. So that's kind of an indication of knowing, like, oh, we're at the chorus now, when you kind of hear it sounding like a chorus effect of the singer. And not necessarily in harmony, mm-hmm. Just, you know, the vocals recorded and overdubbed over itself to give it a little more fatness.
Fatness?
Yeah. A little Jeez. More heft.
Something that I found with, at least with Erykah Badu's lyrics, is that she tends to repeat things, and not just literally repeating the same lyric again and again, but she repeats the construction of her lyrics. And I saw that in a couple of her songs. So, like, it kind of adds a sort of structure and a rhythm, even though mm-hmm. she's not literally repeating the same things.
Cool.
So maybe I'll try to do that.
So how are you going to write a neo-soul song about Mortimer Tim Lewis Anson, the protein scientist? Like, I want to get all up in your protein folds, baby.
Ew, why does it have to be that? No, definitely no.
Or you could write a soul song about the three heart attacks that Tim had.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. And his wife also died of a heart attack. Are you going to do anything with Bartok?
So for Bartok, I'm going to do a quote from his opera, Bluebeard's Castle. So Bartok started out writing sort of Hungarian folk music inspired stuff. And
Wait,
then
he was
when
Hungarian. But mm-hmm. he was a bat in Anastasia in Russia.
Yeah, I think they got that wrong.
Oh, that's a very bad look.
I think they mistakenly transplanted him to Russia.
That's very weird. Anyway.
He's from Transylvania, actually. So maybe that's why he was a bat.
Didn't he have, like, a really doofy accent in Anastasia? Wasn't mm-hmm. he like, I'm Bartok the Bat? Wasn't that, like, his thing?
It was. It probably wasn't Gilbert Gottfried, but in my head, it was Gilbert Gottfried.
I'm going to look up who it was, but continue. Sorry.
Anyway, I'm going to use an excerpt from, or a quote from Bluebeard's Castle, because Bartok had been writing Hungarian folk music and then wrote Bluebeard's Castle in sort of a modernist style. Huh. So that was his, I'm going to say, his neo period.
Oh, look how
in
clever
composition.
You are.
So with Neo Soul, I'm going to use some of his modernist music.
Cool. You can 100% guess who the voice of Bartok the Bat is.
Richard Kind.
No, but that's a really good guess.
I'm going to keep guessing.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes! How did you know?
One more guess.
One more guess.
Dakota Fanning.
Did you even watch Anastasia ever?
One more guess.
Okay.
Dakota Fanning. I don't know. Who was it?
Hank Azaria. Right? Like, that makes so much sense.
That's like the moment in Anastasia when the bat was like, she works hard for the money.
Everyone should go watch The Birdcage. Just, that's like good life advice.
The Bat Cage.
With Hank Azaria and Dakota Fanning. She just gets attacked by bats. I have an idea for my angle on the song.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is it?
So, like, his big thing, Timmy's big thing, was about that protein folding was a reversible reaction. And I'm just, like, thinking about that as, like, a larger, like, something that people thought was permanent was actually, in fact, reversible and more like liquid and malleable than they might have previously conceived of it to be. And mm-hmm. so I was thinking about, like, maybe it's like a kind of, not literal, but like sad kind of pining song for his wife that died, like about like death being a reversible reaction.
Oh, God.
But it's not like literally.
It's kind of dark.
Yeah, it's very, it's like, but it's romantic. It's soulful. And it's, I can do it.
Okay.
It's not going to be like, why did you die? Please come back. It's going to be, because like when reading Erykah Badu, her lyrics are very quirky and they're not literal and it's not really narrative. So it's much more meditative. So I think there's a way to do it where you can evoke that sort of like longing and wishing that something that's permanent wasn't permanent without actually telling the story of anybody dying.
Okay.
You're skeptical, I can tell.
I trust you.
Have I ever failed you?
We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Oh God. You're using you've got your disappointed dad face on.
Well, I'm gonna start writing some soulful music based on Bartok.
Cool. I'm gonna start on the lyrics.
I hear through the grapevine that you have lyrics.
I do have lyrics.
The grapevine is you.
That's true. All right, here are my lyrics. Bits and pieces in the body, molecules like birds on wire. Expand, contract, react, react, fold up, fold in, fold out. Reverse, can't you just reverse, put life in reverse, reverse.
So deep.
No, it isn't.
So introspective.
Oh, well, maybe. But see what I mean? Like, it's evocative of like wishing that things could go back to another way, but it's permanent, but you wish it wasn't. And also literally about protein folding.
Probably, I'm going to venture a guess that it's the only neo-soul song ever written about protein folding.
You know, we're doing really revolutionary work here on Song Salad, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So because Scott rightly pointed out that it will be very difficult for me to record singing and then send it to him to be put with the... It's just too difficult. So for the next 4 weeks or like 3 more weeks, it'll just be Scott singing, which is fine with me. And he's just going to alter his voice a little bit for this one.
I'm going to make my voice sound like a female for this one. The reason that we're going with a female voice is because the majority of the neo soul artists that came out in the 90s were female, and it was a break away from the trend in hip hop and R&B at that time of only promoting male artists.
Yeah.
So we want to give the women their due.
Yes. Agreed.
Hashtag Hillary 2016. Give the women their due.
Yeah, hashtag Hillary 2016, because we don't want the world to end. How about that?
And as far as the quote of Bartok goes, I'm using the opening notes from Bluebeard's Castle, which are part of a pentatonic scale. Do you know what a pentatonic scale means?
Yeah, it's 5 notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's minor sounding?
It's not necessarily minor sounding. It's whenever you hear, like, quote-unquote Asian music.
Yeah.
That's usually what a pentatonic scale sounds like. And it just means that there's an even space between all of the steps of the scale. So there's a whole step separating each note of the scale. So I'm using those notes from the opening of Bluebeard's Castle as the bass line for our song.
Cool.
And I'm going to do the song in 6/8 meter. And the reason I'm doing that is so that we can have that kind of laid back or kind of bluesy feel of that, like, a boom, doom, 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 you know?
Oh, yeah. That. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Which is very much in the, like, D'Angelo world of things.
I like it.
Should we do it?
Hold on. Let me figure out a band name.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's got to be Tim and the Somethings.
Mortimer and the Tims?
Mortimer and the Tims is good. It could also be Tim and the Folds. Timmy and the Folds?
Timmy and the Folds. Two-State Reaction? So our band is called...
Two-State Reaction.
Which is appropriate for us right now because we are in two states.
We are. And then the song is called, okay, so Two-State Reaction.
What's the song title?
Presents.
You want to just do Put Life in Reverse?
I mean, it's very serious. Usually our titles are jokey. Sometimes serious is okay, everybody. Calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Two-State Reaction presents Put Life in Reverse, a Shannon and Scott original.
Well, that was
soulful.
Critter, woodland critter-y.
A wonderful tribute to all female neo soul singers throughout the ages. A stunning resemblance to the voice of Erykah Badu.
Yeah, if she were Gus Gus from Cinderella.
I needed to make my voice sound like a female, and that was the easiest way to do it.
Maybe not the best way.
Well, that aside, what'd you think of the song?
I liked it. It was really relaxing.
It is relaxing.
I could chill to that music.
And you should.
And so should you, vegetarians.
Kind of fun to know that the bass line of that song is the exact bass line of the opening of Bluebeard's Castle.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's not something that I like even picked up on. Like I would never recognize that. That's super cool.
Please reach out to us on Twitter if you have salad spinner suggestions. Thank you again to Nubia Torres for her suggestion of today's salad spinners.
@Nubia81.
Yes. Yep. And if you would like a personalized song about you, send us a message on Twitter and we'll get back to you for some more deets.
You wonderful, crazy shows who are gonna...
Hey, don't discourage it.
I'm not discouraging it. I'm just shocked and amazed.
You can find out more about us on songsaladpodcast.com.
Find us on Twitter @songsaladcast.
And listen to us on SoundCloud too. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together we're...
apparently very tired.
We are very tired. Wait, was that our thing?
Should we redo
that?
No, we should redo it.
Okay.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together we're...
Shannon and Scott.
So.
Great.
Cool.
Bye.
1, 2, 3, 4.